commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire...
Celsius Hockey.
Welcome to another Big Fake Radio Show. Joining me as always is new Larry, Kevin Jank.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
Yeah, I thought you were going to put a little twist on that somehow, but you didn't. You just did the exact line.
Yeah.
You could have said, I'm here to wear a t-shirt and to kick ass, and I'm all out of t-shirts. Because there's a Skype mishap. And the first thing I are greeted with is a shirtless Kevin Jank. What is going on?
Got to see some man boob. Brighten up your day.
Also joining us is my personal attorney, spiritual advisor, Tuffy.
Life's a bitch, and she's back in heat.
Yeah. I read that was apparently Macho Man Randy Savage's favorite line in the film.
Oh, I can see that.
Yes, today we will be reviewing They Live from 1988, John Carpenter. It's crazy that I had never seen this movie.
Yeah, this movie is your life.
Yeah. Wrestling and conspiracy.
Like story.
It should be exactly what we're talking about. But we were going to watch it one time on Tubi. Jank was going to pick it, and then they took it off of Tubi, like right when he was about to pick it. And then, so it was my turn to pick a movie this week, and I was looking around the Tubis, and sure enough, boom, they brought it back. And it was under a category of brought back by popular demand. They Live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people love it.
The good people of Tubi. They heard your pleas, and they brought it back.
But, we're doing John Carpenter movies back to back. I like it.
Yeah, it's a little something there. Our buddy Bob Myers was excited about the... Maybe this becoming a John Carpenter tribute show.
Yeah. Finally make you watch Halloween.
That's right. So I think this movie was released like Halloween 4 was coming out, right? Is that what the story was? Or?
Oh, could be. Yeah, John Carpenter was long gone by that point. He wanted nothing to do
with it. Yeah, I think that's why they said it was kind of ironic or whatever. Yeah, They Live. It opened up. It was the number one movie in the box office the first week, which is crazy. And then disappeared pretty quickly after that. But it was still
It's lived on. It's got definitely like a cult following for sure. It was ahead of its time, like
because if you go and read some of the reviews when it came out, people were like shitting on it. They were like not happy about it at all. And I was like, I don't get it. I think they were probably
were those the elites.
They're the aliens who bought off trying to bury the movie because this movie's great. Yeah. Spoiler alert. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Before we get into They Live, let's check in with Tuffy. Tuffy, you're wearing a shirt, right?
Yeah. At the moment, but, you know, things can change.
Yeah. The night is young.
So, but Tuffy, last week you weren't here. Larry filled in for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did we watch, Jank? Oh, Big Trouble in Little China.
Big Another Trouble in Little China.
John Carpenter's big. Now, Tuffy, have you seen that movie before?
No.
Did you go and did you watch it?
No, if I'm not here,
it doesn't exist.
I was wondering if you played along at home. I guess not.
I hate my time to listening back to the radio show, not watching the movie.
You should give the movie a whirl, though. Wait, you listen to the radio show?
I gotta hear what's going on, you know?
Holy hell.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's what I do. I always listen to the show, but don't watch the movie usually.
I find that hard to believe.
I was remember, Mike Dell, you've always been the host or co-host. Jank and I were listeners before we were part of this.
That is true, I guess. Because I've never heard this radio show.
Even when you edit it, it's like a blind monkey pressing buttons.
We'll say I was very happy to hear that there was no Check It Out theme song involved last week.
Yeah, I think I actually had to delete the Check It Out theme song from my hard drive because my computer's hard drive is shrinking by the day. It's a big thing over here. But So I got to save all the space I can. But Tuffy, you weren't here last week. You were up at the lake playing grab ass in Michigan, right? Getting the lake ready, getting the boat ready.
Yeah.
Ready and all that kind of stuff.
Yep. Getting all the docks in the water and whatnot.
Oh, I thought the docks were always in the water. You got to put the docks in the water.
Yeah, they come out in the winter because if the lake freezes, the ice will move everything around.
Ah, I never even thought of that.
Yeah.
I just thought, you know, you put a dock in, it's staying there. You know, it's a dock. But,
yeah. No, there was a lot of stuff to do because I'm going to help my cousin move a couch from the lake to their house. They live up that way. And then my parents, they turned on the faucet, and it smelled like rotten eggs in the trailer.
That's not good.
Yeah, so there's apparently a part in your water heater called the sacrificial rod.
Sacrificial rod.
Yeah, it's a metal that is more susceptible to corrosion than the steel that the tank is made out of, so that corrodes from the water instead of the tank. But apparently sometimes it just makes it smell like rotten eggs.
Yeah. I'll take your word for it.
I recommend you inspect those every 1 to 3 years, but it is not built to be inspected, I'll tell you that.
Well, that's good, but everything else is...
cut out insulation, and then my cousin's husband, like, he's a carpenter professionally. So it's always nice that he has professional-grade tools, because there is no fucking way I would have gotten that thing out of that water heater.
But it's nice that, you know, you and Jack, you have all these cousins and their spouses and everything. Like, I don't talk to anybody. You got these big extended families, and that's nice.
Yeah, we got cars that are well over 10,000 miles.
That was the other problem then, is I was driving my car the last 2 weekends, because I was in Chicago 2 weekends ago. I heard like a rumbling noise when I was driving on the highway.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that can't be good. Put it in this weekend. No, the wheel bearing was going bad. Ooh. That cost $600 to fix, so.
Holy hell.
Yeah.
Hopefully you didn't take it to that one place that always messes it up.
Yeah. I found out that's just a problem with this particular model of car.
Oh, really?
It's not unique to me, is that the lug nut studs break often, which is not convenient.
Huh.
But,
All right.
Yeah, because Mike Dell, you just crossed 10,000 miles, and I am approaching 120,000 miles.
Yeah, but you got yours like 3 months before me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Okay, I'll catch up over the summer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Take a lot of road trips.
Yeah.
Yeah. Find some new exotic places to take a nap during the day, don't you?
Yes. I didn't take a nap today, though. So
what?
Oh, no. I'm a little out of sorts. I don't know what to do.
My whole world is spinning. I might like check it out now.
I didn't go shoot hockey. You know, it was raining. And then I actually had some work this afternoon. So I was just doing that. So I didn't work out either. So I wasn't tired enough to take a nap.
I didn't work out either.
Yeah. So. I only shot hockey maybe twice this week. It's been a lot of rain here. I did have to go drop off those paintings for that art show. That was something I had to do. That was pretty painless. I thought it was going to be a big thing, but it was pretty easy. There's just a lady there waiting.
Dropping the kids off to college, saying goodbye.
Just drop them off. And she's like, yeah, hey, thanks. And she never asked my name or anything. And I'm like, so you know who I am? And she's like, oh, well, she was waiting for me or a guy named Bruce. So she said, I figured you're either you or Bruce. So I'm like, yeah.
I'm Bruce. Make sure you pay Bruce.
But that was weird. But otherwise, not much else. But that art show, I don't even know when it opens. I think it's going to run like 3 or 4 weeks because it's like Seton Hill. It's alumni, whatever it is. It's not homecoming, but it's, I guess, alumni, whatever.
fundraising, give us money time.
Yeah, I don't give them shit. So, but there's, I think, I don't know, maybe the first week of June, there's like a, there's an actual event, like, an extravagant, you show up, there's like a dinner and all kind of stuff, and you can, because I have a, I'm featured in the show, I get to go for free, you know, and I can, yes. But I have to register by May 24th. So what do you think the odds are that I am going to register to go to an art gallery opening or whatever?
Do they serve tofu? Is that an option?
I don't know. See, these are the kind of things I should do. But, man, that just sounds awful, being around all these people.
Maybe there'll be a chance where you could show off your bagging skills and later we'll be
What if you get into a grocery store situation again?
Yeah, that is true, yeah. I'm the famous artist over there. Hey, I
you just gotta stand off to the side from your paintings and wait till someone's really admiring them.
Yes.
Or someone like, yep, that's me, I'm Bruce.
So, I don't know. The odds are pretty slim that I'll be going to this art gallery thing, but you never know. I could be social here at some point.
See, that happens on a Friday, so you're the art exhibit gala and gallery crawl.
Oh, you are. Toffee's looking it up. Look at you.
Nice. Yeah. Alumni weekend, June 7, 8, and 9.
7, 8, and 9. Yeah, and I think the writing workshop that, you know, the program I was in, they're having their residency at the end of June, I believe. So that's another thing I could go to if I wanted. And Miles Watson will be coming into town for that. And he's going to be teaching a class during that residency. And Pat Piccarelli is also planning to come into town, and the three of us are scheduled to go to dinner.
Ooh. And then the strip club?
Yeah, I don't know. But Pat, you know, he's always excited to take me to dinner because not often you get to see them when you just get a glass of water and some broccoli. You know, it's always very exciting.
They might have French fries on the menu.
Yeah, I do. I do get fries on occasion. Once or twice a year, I'll eat French fries. So, but yeah, so it could. The point is, I could have a lot of social engagements over the next month.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're busy.
But.
And they're all in Greensburg, correct?
Yes. Yeah, it's near the hospital.
You don't even have to leave Greensburg.
No, I don't. But there's no way in hell I'm doing it. I'll go to dinner or lunch or whatever with Pat and Miles, but I'm not going anything else, though, you know.
Won't Pat will and Miles go also be at the symposium thing?
Yeah, Miles will, but I don't know. I think Pat's just coming in to. Cause he lives about 40 minutes away. I think he's just coming in to have lunch with us or whatever.
Nice of him. Yeah. Will you drive like one block away from him and be like, hey, I was real close to that thing.
I saw it from the outside. It was great.
Looked really cool.
So I don't know.
Oh, is it near the hospital? Is that where this is happening?
It actually is. It's not far from the hospital at all. It's like the street over, but it's not too bad. So, all right, that's my excitement. Jack, anything you'd like to report for the past week? Did you lose your shirts? What happened to your shirts?
I turned into, you know, Hulk Hogan and just started ripping them off. Because little gremlins kept messing with my movies. I couldn't have it. Other than that, not much.
Hey, Jack, before I forget. I got some Flea Market Fantasy news. We're up to 212 subscribers. We picked up one. But in the last day, I've had at least, I think, three or four comments from people we don't know on videos.
Oh.
And they're all big fans. No, they're the older videos. People are still going back and listening to those. And some fella posted that he's been through the entire playlist twice. He loves the show.
Oh, my God. So look at that. Awesome.
We're making a change in the world, Jack. We're improving people's lives with Flea Market Fantasy.
Somebody's actually listening to this.
Yeah, no one's listening to Jonah Hex. I can tell you that much. But,
but that's two views, you know, it's that guy.
They are going back listening to the older ones, so that's something. But anyway, so what else is going on this week, Jack? Anything?
Let's see. Well, our roof is still leaking at work, so that's fun.
Oh, that seems like that's been going on for months.
Yep. Still has not been fixed. And then the other day, like, one of our shipping companies that we use, like, sent us, like, free Jimmy John's at lunch.
Ah, sounds nice.
Yeah, like, that's cool. I go on the second, like, lunch. For, like, there's some people go at 12, some people go at 12:30. I should go at 12:30. And turns out, like, the first group that got into the there, one of the guys found, like, a little green worm in his sandwich.
Oh, no. That's like, yeah, that's good luck, right?
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Like the bottle of tequila, the worm in the bottom. Just
so, or a tapeworm, one of the two.
Wow, so did you eat the Jimmy John's after that?
I did not, no. I was like, I'll pass.
How many of those two sandwiches are going to have worms? Come on.
This one's got crabs.
I've never had a Jimmy John's because I don't think they're around here. But I see the commercials. I remember Tuffy Brock Lesnar always had Jimmy John's shorts on. Remember when he was wrestling?
Yeah.
For a while, he's sponsored by Jimmy John's.
This is great. I'd look past the
I had a Jimmy John's shirt on, but he took my sponsorship away, so I took it off.
So, all right. Well, we'll talk about the movie, then we'll talk about other bullshit, and then we'll get the hell out of here. So, sounds like a plan.
Talk about the exciting conclusion to X-Men 97.
Oh. Ooh,
yeah, I haven't watched that.
Okay. That'll be something. All right, so let's talk some They Live. Like we said, 1988, John Carpenter, and an hour and 34 minutes. An hour and 34 minutes. And here's the official description from IMDb. They influence our decisions without us knowing it. They numb our senses without us feeling it. They control our lives without us realizing it. They Live. Yeah,
yeah, it's not the best title. Like, really,
I don't know. I like it. I like Live. I never knew what this was about. Like, I knew there was aliens or something, but I kind of thought like They Live because they were once dead, now they're living or something, you know. But no, They Live. Like at the beginning of the movie,
actually living, and we're just, you know,
yeah. There's like they show a slogan on painted on a wall. They live while we sleep or something like that. Some sort of slogan like that.
Yeah.
So our lives are all dumbed down, filled with distractions and bullshit, while they're living actual good life, you know?
That's so true. Yeah, it makes some sense.
Yeah, so I don't know. I like it. And the original, of course, Roddy Piper was cast as the lead here, and they never mention his name in the movie, but he's credited as Nada.
Yeah.
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 And I guess that's because
he's a man with no name, essentially.
But this movie here was based on a short story and written in the 60s, and then it became a graphic novel in the mid-80s, and the main character in there, his name was Nada. So I think they just put that over there.
Makes sense.
And I forget what the name of the short story is. Something like By 8 o'clock in the Morning, I think, is something along those lines is the title.
Oh, it's an even worse title, sounds like.
Yeah. Apparently a guy is like hypnotized or something, and he realizes that aliens are running the world, and he has until 8 o'clock the next morning to stop them or something.
Uh-huh.
I guess that's the premise there. But yeah, Roddy Piper. Now, Carpenter was going to put his buddy Kurt Russell.
Oh, of course.
But but he thought, well, I just did four movies in a row with Kurt Russell, so I should probably stop. So, and there's no way Kurt Russell could, like, Piper's not a great actor, obviously, but he's awesome in this. And like that fight scene, there's no way Kurt Russell could pull that off.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I think like Roddy Piper pretty much choreographed that whole thing. Like, I remember Keith David said he worked with, you know, Roddy a lot on that, like, because he didn't really know how to fight either, so.
Yeah, this movie is famous for probably two things. One, that the quote Jank opened the show with.
Yeah.
And Piper wrote that line, by the way. That was his line.
Nice.
He said he had a bunch of stuff in a notebook, like just lines he was going to use in wrestling promos, and he showed it to Carpenter, and they found that line. He's like, oh, yeah, let's use this. So, yeah.
There were a lot of good lines in this movie.
Yeah, they needed more of that in, like, Big Trouble in Little China, just some better one-liners like that.
So, but that fight, it's also famous for a very long fight scene between Piper and Keith David, his co-star. What did we see Keith David in on recently on here? Or maybe it was months ago. I don't know. But I swear we watched the movie with Keith David.
We definitely did. I can't think of what it was.
I don't know. Tuffy will research it, right, Tuffy?
Yeah, I'll work on it.
Look at his IMDb.
He's been in a lot of things, like The Thing and Requiem for a Dream. He's the voice of
been like 100 movies.
Wyatt.
Yeah. Well, just look for
the voice of Spawn in the 90s cartoon.
Oh. Just look for the terrible ones in the 80s and 70s.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the ones we saw. But anyway, so this movie is famous for a big fight scene between Piper and David that lasts 5 minutes and 20 seconds.
It seems a lot longer, honestly.
And I guess the original version of it was only 20 seconds. And they just amped it up. And they said they rehearsed the fight for 3 weeks. At Piper, and like the way good wrestlers work a match is they say, hit me as hard as you want, just not in the face or the balls. And that's basically what they did. They just got, they threw working punches to the face, but otherwise they really hit each other. And, I guess, Carpenter's a big wrestling fan. And he told Piper, well, why don't you, use a suplex, you know, during the fight? And he's like, yeah. Well, what kind of suplex? And Piper wanted to demonstrate all the suplexes on Carpenter, but he said, no, I'm not going to do that. Although he did let him put him in a sleeper hold.
I do that.
Put him in a sleeper hold. But, there are at least three there's a German suplex, a gut wrench suplex, and one kind of like, David picks him up for a suplex and then just drops him flat, like on his back. But, so yeah, there are some wrestling moves in the fight. And it's pretty great.
It's awesome because it's such an unnecessary fight, too. It's just like, put the glasses on and look. And he's like, no.
I'm not going to put fucking glasses on.
Yeah. What's the worst that could happen?
So, Jack, put your shirt on. No.
No. I will fight you.
So. Yeah, I don't. Anything else we should know about? Oh, I guess we should talk about the rest of the cast. There's a lady named Meg Foster is in this.
Yeah,
and
very unique eyes.
Yes, that is kind of shocking. Like her eyes are the palest blue eyes I've ever seen. And I was reading up on her, and apparently some directors thought they were too distracting, and they made her wear contacts.
But, oh yeah, do that.
Yeah, it is a little weird the first time you see her. Like, wait, is she an alien? What's going on here that her eyes are that pale blue?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, like if she's an alien, she's not doing a very good job of disguising it.
And I guess she played Evil Lyn in He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Oh, okay. That sounds right.
Yeah. Is that that? Yeah, that was her name, right? Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, Evil Lyn.
I mentioned Keith David.
She's not yellow live-action version.
Yeah. Is there any other famous people in this?
Oh, what's his name? George Buckflower, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. He's been in a couple of movies we watch, usually playing like a drunk or a bum or a hobo of some kind.
Yeah, that's what he does in this movie.
Yep. He's been in a lot of John Carpenter movies, so I think he uses him a lot.
Yeah, he's a drifter.
Yeah.
I think that's about it there, right?
Yeah, as far as famous people, I would say that's about it.
I can't figure out any other Keith David movies we watched. I was thinking New Jack City, but he's not in that.
Oh, yeah, that would make sense.
Oh, why? Because he's black? Holy hell.
No, because the cast in that movie was like 90% black.
Yeah. I'm looking through the list as well, and
he would have been better in that movie than Ice-T.
Holy hell, he has been in a ton of things. I've been flipping this page for a while, and I'm still in 2012.
Yeah.
Lord.
Now, we should watch Armageddon, a movie that he's in.
Pass.
Oh, yeah. If it ever comes on screen, we're doing it.
Oh, he was in the Tiger Woods story. He played Earl Woods. Wow. Holy hell, this guy's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I'm scrolling down, and I'm not even out of the 2000s yet.
All right, here's the thing, 1982.
Yep.
Oh, that was like his third movie or fourth movie or fifth movie. Yeah. Platoon, we didn't watch Platoon. I swear we watched something with him because I remember you. He's in Roadhouse.
On the show, but.
Maybe he just came up, you know, as a point of discussion, but he wasn't actually in a movie we watched. Oh, he's in Reality Bites.
Oh, and was it?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't. All right. I guess it's a mystery. So, all right. How do we get started here, Tuffy and They Live?
I don't remember.
I think Piper. We see a train pulling out, past, just driving through, and then we see Piper when the train leaves. He's walking up.
Yeah.
He's like a hobo. He's got his rucksack, and he's riding the rails. And a trivia note from IMDb on that scene, they said they somehow screwed up the first take, so they had to get the company to run the train through again, and it cost them $12,000.
That sounds expensive.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, Piper's just down on his luck fella, like me in 3 weeks from now probably, and he's got a rucksack, and he's just walking through, and he's looking for a job. He's looking for work.
First, he goes to get some unemployment. Or, yeah, does he go to like a temp agency or an unemployment thing?
Yeah, some sort of a job place where they try and find him a job. And the lady's like, We got nothing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that Hulk issue we read recently on Flea Market Fantasy with Bruce Banner getting her on his purple pants.
He doesn't have a hot landlord to like get him a job.
Yeah.
He just has to kind of rely on some construction guy. He's like, this is a union job. He's like, oh, can I talk to the shop steward? And then he's like, I guess you're hired. I was full of shit.
And so then we see Piper shirtless in this scene, Jack. And he's working.
In his wandering around, there's a scene that I feel like used to be in a lot of movies that just doesn't exist anymore. If he walks past a window shop with a bunch of TVs all tuned to the same channel.
Yeah. That was a constant, yeah. Because he's walking by, there's just a guy staring at the TVs like a mindless zombie.
That would be me.
Check It Out must have been on. But when Piper's working on the construction site, he's doing it shirtless, and he's almost as jacked as Jank. And Piper, this is the best Piper. Like, he was never a body guy in his wrestling career. This is the biggest I've ever seen Piper in this movie. Like, he is really jacked. So what I'm trying to say is he was on the steroids here. He was, I think it's pretty clear he's using some extra stuff because he never looked like this in his wrestling career. And while he's working in the construction site, he meets Keith David. I think his name is Frank, right? Frank?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
Sure.
And they kind of hit it off. Well, not really. Because at first, Keith David says, hey, well, Keith David's trying to be a nice guy. He's like, hey, I got a place, you know, I know where you can stay. If you need a place to stay, I know somewhere. And I'm heading that way.
Shelter, they got food and stuff.
Yeah, I can show you. And Piper just stares at him. Like, he doesn't even answer him. And Keith David's like, all right, well, fuck you then. And he just walks off. But then Piper starts following him like a puppy dog. He just starts following him around. And then Keith David stops and says, hey, why the hell are you following me? You know? And, Piper says, well, I don't join in anybody until I know where they're going. So, they become chums. You know? That's how I met Larry. Same kind of thing.
I got a place. I got broccoli and tofu.
David takes him back to a kind of like a homeless camp. Just in a, like a deserted lot in the middle of LA. It seems they're just.
Yeah.
And a bunch of homeless folks are camping out there and living there. And they make food for each other. And Piper gets a big plate of beans and stuff. And he's very happy. He's very happy.
But, when all you have is a porta potty, all you want to definitely eat is beans.
A lot of peas. Big scoop of peas on that plate, too.
So they're eating and chatting it up. David's doing most of the chatting. Piper's pretty quiet here. And David's just voicing his anger towards the world and the system that keeps everybody down.
I have a family back in Detroit. There's no work. They shut down all the auto factories. They had to come down here and find a job and send money home.
Yeah. And another point about Piper here. If you notice, he's wearing a wedding ring in this movie. And that's because he was married at the time. And Carpenter wanted him to take the wedding ring off. And he said, nope, not taking it off. So he just wore his wedding ring.
I mean, I did not notice. So, yeah, I don't think it's a sticky. Yeah.
There is a scene where it's prominent. Like, it's, well, after he falls through the window and everything, and he's, like, huddled up on the street, and he's pulling his shirt around, tight around him, you see the wedding ring. It, like, glints in the light pretty bright. So,
but it kind of just adds, awfully hard at Roddy Piper.
But it kind of just adds to the character. Like, oh, he probably lost his wife somehow, you know?
Yeah.
That's doesn't really matter that much. But all right, so yeah, they're just
a blank slate. Like you don't really find out much about him at all, so doesn't really contradict anything.
So they're in this little compound, and Frank's introducing them to a bunch of people. There's a guy named Gabe, I think, who kind of runs everything. Oh, there's also a blind street preacher that Piper sees on the street before he was that even before he had the construction job, right? He first saw him on the street.
I think so.
Yeah. But that guy's also at the compound, and there's a couple other people around, you know, and there's that Buck Flowers guy.
Yeah, he's always huddled by the fire.
Yeah, and even though they're outside, they still have a TV hooked up somehow, and they all like to watch TV. So.
You got to have your priorities straight.
Yeah. And so, what happens now, Cenk? What's the next big thing?
What is the next big thing? I think, Ryan's
just kind of hanging out, watching the church across the street, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because they're
singing all night long, but it's just a recording, he finds out. But he's kind of suspicious about it.
When they're watching TV, a white fella pops up on the screen, with a beard and stuff, and he's like hacking into the broadcast, and he's trying to wake people up, telling them about the system that is corrupt. And you don't see we're being controlled, you know. And, well, Piper notices that that blind preacher guy's in the background of the camp, like, you know, where he's at. And he's, like, mouthing all the words that are coming out of this guy's mouth on the TV. And he's like, well, that's weird. This preacher guy knows exactly what he's saying here. And so he watches that preacher guy, and then that Gabe, who kind of runs the show, he notices that the preacher guy is running his mouth too. So he goes over and grabs him and he takes him across the street to the church. So that's why Piper starts seeing what's going on in that church. He's intrigued about what's going on there. And he does sneak over then to investigate. And he, like Cenk says, he finds out that all the singing's fake. It's just a recording. And he finds a secret compartment in a wall that has a bunch of cardboard boxes. But he doesn't know what's in the box.
Chemicals sitting around and sunglasses.
Yeah. So he's like, what the hell's going on here? You know? And then Tuffy the next day, there's another, like, well, there's another broadcast of the hacker at some point, but then the cops show up, right?
Yeah. There's a helicopter that's been buzzing around like in Goodfellas. Everybody's looking up at the helicopter.
So they're like zeroing in on the, broadcast or whatever.
Yeah, then the cops show up with the bulldozer to take down the church and the homeless encampment.
Yep, because the resistance were working out of that church. They were broadcasting a little hacking. Like the guy on the TV screen, he's actually in the church and they're filming it and broadcasting it from there. And the preacher guy was in on it with them and everybody. So they're like, there's a small group of resistance. And
yeah.
The cops found them out, and they just, you know, Tuffy said bulldoze everything. So they got to go on the run, but the cops beat the hell out of the hacker guy and the priest. So there's like a chase scene and Piper gets away with a few other people. But yeah, that hacker guy, he's fucked up. He's done. So then Piper sneaks back in the next day, right?
Yeah, the next day. Yeah.
Everyone's going through the compound, picking up their clothes and trying to find things that belong to them. And Piper goes over to the church again and he goes right for that hidden compartment. He wants to see what's in those boxes. He pulls out a cardboard box and he sneaks out and he goes to an alley a little bit away and he opens up the box. And what's in the box, Jank?
Whole bunch of sunglasses.
Yeah. And he's like, what the fuck?
What kind of weird cult is this that makes sunglasses?
So he just hides the... Now, this was a poor decision on his part. He decides to hide the cardboard box in a garbage can.
In a dumpster, yeah. Not smart.
But one pair of glasses did fall out of the box. And he's like, all right, I'll just keep these. You know, I'll keep you some glasses. So he starts walking around the town there, Jenk, and he puts on the glasses, and what happens?
It turns out they, like, turn everything black and white, first of all, but then they also, like, you can now see things that you couldn't see before, like, all the billboards and, like, headlines have all changed, like, they're all just kind of blank paper, and they have words, like giant words on them, like, obey, no independent thought, consume, marry and reproduce.
Yep.
Watch TV. Like, huh. That's the one I see all the time.
Yeah.
Sleep.
I see that now. Let's close the mind.
So he's like, what the hell's going on here? These are crazy glasses. And but then he notices something even more disturbing though, Jay.
Yeah, it's true. He notices some guys. I think the first guy he sees is the one at the newspaper stand, right?
Yeah, because he's looking through a magazine with the glasses, and he sees even the magazine, like, all the normal print and pictures go away, and you just see, like, subliminal messages when you're reading the magazine. And there's a rich guy in a fancy suit trying to get a magazine, and when he looks at him, what does he see?
He's seeing, like, an x-ray of him almost, where he's it's almost like he's got muscle but no skin. Kind of looks weird. Like, you can't tell the color scheme of them yet because it's all black and white, but it definitely looks very like alien. They like giant. He's like a giant bulging eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, just like a face without skin, basically.
Yeah.
So that's freaking him out, obviously.
Yeah, and he goes to like a convenience store, and just like a bunch of people there, like that, like all the rich people.
Yeah, because when he looked at the guy running the newsstand, he's a normal human, even when he looks at him with the glasses. But it seems like just the rich, well-to-do people, they're all freaks or aliens or whatever. He has no idea.
And he is not subtle about it. He's telling them to their face, like, you are fucking ugly, bud.
Yeah. You look like your head fell in the cheese dip back in 1957.
Yeah, he's just telling that to, like, an old lady.
Yeah. There's a lady, like, looking at herself in, like, the store window trying to, like, do her makeup. He's like, that's like putting lipstick on a pig or something like that. Like,
I think pouring perfume on a pig, I think. She's trying to primp her hair and everything. But the old lady he's talking to in the one store, she realizes, uh-oh, this guy can see. He can see us. And all these little alien people, they all got watches on, and she starts talking to her watch. She's like, one of them can see us. And she starts describing
Piper. One of them would have to report this, not all of them, and be
very
suspicious. Yeah,
they all
suspicious.
Will start reporting it. Yeah. Piper's like, what the what? So he goes running outside, and he just gets around the corner, and boom, the cops are already there showing up. And the two cops come out, and they're trying to calm him down, but he's got the glasses on. He sees, oh, these are aliens too. Or freaks or whatever. And the cop says, why don't you just come down? We'll have a nice little talk. We'll figure this out. And Piper just beats the fuck out of him. Right? It's like,
yeah,
bum, bum, bum.
Yeah. Jesus just beat the fuck out of him.
Yeah. Because then the one drops the gun, and the other cop gets a gun and he's, does he shoot at Piper and miss, or he's about to shoot? I can't even remember.
Yeah, I think they might shoot at the same time, but Piper gets it off just first.
Yeah, and then he goes, oh, you can die just like us. And then the other cop hits him with the nightstick from behind, but he just shrugs it off and shoots that guy too.
Yeah.
He heals both the cops. He takes a nightstick. He takes a shotgun.
Throws a rifle out of the car.
Yeah. And then he goes into the bank where he was in earlier and saw all the aliens, right? And Jank, that's where he delivers the line about the bubble gum.
Mm-hmm.
And he just says, I'm going to start murdering everybody I see.
alien, not everybody.
But that's a bold, like, you know, he doesn't know. Maybe these aliens are good folk, you know? He doesn't know.
I feel like all were talking on their watches, that's going to clue you in.
Yeah. And that they're probably related to the, you know, the billboards and stuff that are saying all the weird shit. Probably their conspiracy.
He just starts murdering people in the bank. And
except for one guy, because one guy uses his watch and he can just teleport out of there.
Yeah, he hits a little button and bunk. He's gone. And that comes into play later. But, Piper's just murdering people. And and again, no one else can see the alien, so they just think, oh, this guy's a psychopath. And he's murdering everybody in the bank.
Yeah.
So he goes running away then. And the cops start chasing him.
Flying saucer outside first.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's like a little saucer with an eyeball or a telescope on it. And it's tracking him. So he shoots that out of the sky. And he's just on the run.
He's not a bad guy. Because when he goes outside, there's a cop who's an actual person. And he doesn't shoot that guy.
Yeah, he stops the guy. He sees that it's a human. He just tells him to beat feet. Beat your feet. So the guy goes running. And I guess on the trivia page, they said that when they first shot the scene, Piper said beat feet, and the actor didn't really know what he meant, so he started dancing. had to do it again.
Yeah. Yeah, then he goes in the parking garage right there.
Oh, and that's where he kidnaps the lady, Forster, the lady with the blue eyes. And because he needs hostage. Yeah, so he like ducks down in her car and gets her to just drive him out of there. And she takes him back to her, well, he makes her take him back to her place.
Yeah.
And he just wants to relax. And he when he gets there, he like basically collapses and because he takes the glasses off. I guess the longer you wear the glasses, the more it fucks up your head.
Yeah.
So he's pretty weak and tired and everything because, you know, he's just murdered about 50 people.
And, not people, aliens.
And this Kim Forster lady, she's like, you know, this crazy guy just kidnapped me.
Foster.
Wait, what's her name? Foster.
The glasses, Meg, I think, Foster. Right? He says, put on the glasses.
Yeah, and she's like, no, I'm not going to put on your glasses. You know,
nobody wants to put these glasses on.
Yeah,
I know.
And
I don't want people to judge me.
And he's trying to, she thinks he's going to kill her, you know, or rape her or whatever. And he's like, I just need to relax. Just calm down here. Put on the glasses. I want to show you something. And he says, where do you work? And she's like, oh, I work at a TV station. He's like, wait, a TV station? Let me show you something. He goes over to the TV and he puts on the TV. He's like, they're sending out signals that will. And then this scene is so great because I did not see this coming. Jank, what happens to Piper then when he goes to turn on the TV?
He ends up looking. He's like looking out the window more. Like he goes to like the big open. You know,
he's turning on the TV, but it's near the big glass window. And she conks him over the back of the head with the wine bottle.
Yeah, and then just pushes him out the window.
Yes. Shoves him right,
and he goes rolling down a giant hill, like just tumbling down.
Yeah, like her apartment, it's like on a hill, and like this big plate glass window overlooking the hillside. And she just shoves him right through it. Glass shatters, and he goes. It's a great scene because I just did not see that coming. It was so sudden and dramatic. It's like holy hell, and. So he goes tumbling down the hillside there. She calls the cops, and he dropped his glasses. his glasses are on our apartment floor. And he also doesn't have his shotguns or anything anymore either. So
he's kind of she seems very suspicious. Like, she's in on this thing, but then they try to play it off later like that she wasn't. But, oh, then she is again. It's like, that's not much of a twist. I think everyone assumed she was evil.
I don't know if you assumed it. She was just scared she was going to be murdered by a crazy guy, I think. You know?
Yeah.
Calls it in, but she doesn't seem very scared. Like, she's very calm. Like, yeah, this guy, you know, this guy could see.
I don't know if she's like, I guess, but there's, Sherry shows him out the window, and he's, like, way away now. Yeah. So it's not like she has to fear for her. So, I don't know.
She could have taken
at least 10 minutes to climb up the hill again.
Yeah, but I think, like Tuffy says, I think she thought he was, like, in kayfabe, she thought he was dead. Yeah. Like, that's how we can explain it. But, I didn't really suspect she was evil at that point. I just thought she was a lady who thought she was going to be murdered by a crazy guy. So, Piper doesn't have his guns. He doesn't have his glasses. He has nowhere else to turn. So he goes back to that construction site. And he tries to talk to his buddy, Keith David. And Keith David's like, what the hell? You just murdered 50 people. You're all over the news.
Get out of here. Don't let anybody see.
Like, think of Keith David in this situation. He just met this Piper guy, like, 2 days ago, you know, or a day ago, or whatever it was. And, he seems like a nice guy and all, but he just murdered 50 people.
Not people, he says.
But, like, why is David even, like, acting like, shouldn't he have just said, holy fuck, here's the murderer, everybody. Let's get this guy.
Yeah, he actually gets him his pay. He's like, I got you your week's pay. Now get out of here.
Yeah, it's not like, why
did he eat beans and peas together? That's something, you know?
I don't think he gave him Piper's pay. I think he gave him his own pay.
Wow.
I thought he said I got a week's pay. That's the best I could do for you.
Yeah, I think he means his pay, right?
Oh, yeah. That makes sense, because it would be a tough to explain to the foreman, like, hey, you know that guy who worked here last week and then murdered 50 people? He stopped by and asked for his paycheck. I can bring it to him.
Yeah, that's what
he told me. He wants me to have it.
That's the one question. Like, David's motivation here is just really weird. Like, I can understand if they're like lifelong friends or something, but he just met him.
And he was kind of a dick even when he first met him. He's just like, I'm just going to follow you. Like, he kind of a creep.
Oh, we should also point out, we mentioned earlier how David was talking about how the system's corrupt and everything's stacked against you. And there's a nice little scene where Piper says, I don't know. I believe in America. I think you just got to be patient. And, good things will happen to you.
It's definitely not run by aliens.
Yeah, but I like the contrast there of the, Piper being, oh, no, everything will be all right. World's not that bad. Just having a little bit of a rough patch right now.
Yeah. Ooh,
things will pick up. Once I start murdering people in a bank, it'll be great. So anyway, after David tells him to hit the bricks, you know, get out of the construction site, Piper says, all right, well, I got to go get them glasses back. You know, that's what I got to do. Go get them glasses. So he goes to look for the glasses, and a garbage truck took the garbage can. But thankfully, the garbage truck is right there still. So
yeah. And it doesn't function like any other garbage truck I've ever seen.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on. Did they have this specially designed for this movie? I don't know. Is this what garbage trucks look like? But it has like a back, like a little hatchback lid that pops up. And he climbs
in. Piper pops that open.
Yeah.
And then he climbs in, and the garbage truck just dumps all the garbage back out into the alley.
Because the guys are arguing. Like, the two guys riding the truck are arguing about something. And I think the one guy gets pissed and says, all right, I'll show you. And he just dumps everything out. But it was very
That's
convenient.
How the absorbing man got put back together. And then
I was thinking the same thing. The same Hulk issue. Yeah, the same Hulk issue. Yeah. Fantasy. So, so Piper, I don't know how much of this we needed. But, yeah, Piper gets the glasses back. And
yeah.
Technically, you only want to do something like that if something changes. But, like, that whole scene, like, you know, nothing changed. He could have easily just picked the glasses up without the garbage truck thing, and it would have been fine. It just seemed like an empty 3 minutes. But anyway, so he gets the box of glasses, and then Keith David shows up, and he throws him his money saying, yeah, here's a week's pay. It's all I could do or whatever. And he throws the money right in the cardboard box with the glasses. It's pretty great. It's like he'd be aces at cornhole. He just
was right in there. Yeah.
So you're Piper right says, hey, you got to believe me. Put on these glasses. Just put on the glasses.
Yeah. Keith David does not want to put those glasses on.
No, I'm not going to put on your fucking glasses. I just gave you money. I'm not telling the cops about you. All right, that's enough I'm going to do. And he's like, no, just come on, just put on the glasses. And so he says, stay away from me with your fucking glasses. So he just jabs him right in the nose with the right hand, stiff jab.
Yeah.
And Piper's like, what the? So, and they just start fighting. They just start going.
Yeah. And, this is a glorious 5 minutes right here.
20 seconds.
5 minutes of just put the glasses on. No. Punch, 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 punch. Please put the glasses punch, on. Punch, no.
Yeah, there's a suplex. And also, Keith David worked Piper's balls with his knee very hard. He gets on top of him. And instead of like throwing punches when he's on, he's just kneeing him in the balls like three or four times.
David's good with the kicks. He like kicks him right in the face at one point.
And Piper keeps coming after him. And yeah, David knees him in the face too really good. Kind of knocks him out. But he picks him up for like a suplex and drops him flat on his back. And I think that was the one that kind of KO'd Piper a little bit. And David walks over. He gets the glasses. He picks them up and he drops them on Piper. And he says something to him there. I can't remember what he says. But probably I'm not going to wear your fucking glasses. And so he starts to walk off, but he's still so battered and beat up and everything. He leans up against the little wall there to rest for a second, and Piper gets up, and here he comes again. Bang, 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 and they start fighting again.
Yeah.
At one point, David like, takes a bite out of him.
David does bite his hand.
Yeah.
And then Tuffy, Piper gets the 2x4. Do you remember what happened there, Tuffy?
He starts swinging away, and then one of the times Keith David dodges the swing and he breaks the back window of a car. Piper's like, holy shit, what am I doing? Sorry about that.
Yeah, he's like, I didn't realize how to hit you that hard. Sorry. And he starts to kind of laugh at all, like, hey, maybe we shouldn't fight. And
Keith David luckily finds an empty wine bottle laying on the ground.
Yeah,
we know that's Roddy's weakness because Meg Foster got up a bit earlier.
But yeah, the fight just goes on and on and on, and eventually Piper. What was the final thing that took out David? Was that another suplex or something? Or was it the gut wrench suplex? Maybe. I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
And so then he goes
Keith
over.
David like tries to smash the wine bottle on the car, but he smashes it so much there's nothing left.
And so eventually Piper gets the glasses. He puts them on David's face and he yanks him to his feet and he holds him up to the alleyway. He says, hey, look out there. Look. And he finally sees all the obey messages and everything.
Yeah.
What? Well, so now they decide to get a hotel room together and make sweet, sweet love. This was a little weird. I don't know what was going on here. But they, they go get a hotel room and, they're just going to rest up there. And Piper looks hideous. His face is swollen and mashed up pretty bad. And Keith doesn't look good either. But Piper's really beat up. But then he, like, heals within, like, a couple hours, it seems. His face is pretty good. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. He got the Wolverine healing factor right there.
Yeah, they could have done a little better job with that. But, so they go to the hotel room, and they're just chatting up, trying to figure out what to do. And does anything really important come out of this? Like,
not really. That is the one flaw where you could probably remake this movie and have, like, a lot of the other scenes be a little more interesting. The scene where he gets the glasses on the first time is awesome, and the fight scene's awesome. But the rest of it kind of all blends together.
I think this movie is exceptional for me right up until this part. And then I think it kind of tails off a bit after this. But the whole first act, it was so well done. Just like minimalist writing and really good. And then I think it got a little softer as it went. But
it would help to establish both who the aliens are and who the resistance is a little bit better. Because at the end, it's like, well, here's the two groups. Now they're fighting. Go.
So Piper and David, I don't even know.
What kind of meet up with the homeless camp guy who's kind of running the resistance a little bit.
Yeah, they're just going around their business. And that Gabriel guy sees... Does he see David or something? Or yeah, they happen to run into each other somehow. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like you could fix the movie a little bit by having, say, Keith David used to be in the resistance, and then the aliens threaten, like, his wife and daughter or something. That's why he's in L.A. So he knows about the resistance, can fill Piper in, is hesitant to get back in. That would explain why he really, really doesn't want to put those sunglasses on.
He doesn't want to know. He knows the truth, but he just doesn't want to face it. But, so anyway, they meet up with his resistance folks, and they have a meeting going on, like an AA meeting or something. And
they've upgraded from sunglasses to contacts now.
Yeah, I didn't like this either. why do you think he did this? Just because he wanted to see Piper's eyes and stuff during the final climactic, I guess, the final climax.
Yeah, he wanted to shoot the end of the movie in color, probably.
It's not like you had to shoot it through his perspective, you know, to get the black and white all the time. But I think it's probably just
when Keith David and Roddy Piper, they were like walking around in like midnight and they still have their sunglasses on, like little conspicuous.
But the sunglasses are such a cool look, like that, you know, that you put them on and like, so I don't know. But yeah, they get contact lenses now, so no more need for the sunglasses. And when they're at this meeting, though, that Meg Foster lady, she's at the meeting, too.
Yeah.
And Piper's like, look, there's that lady that tried to kill me. But, you know, it's a big whoopsie.
She wasn't even the first one today, so.
Yeah, he goes over to talk to her. He's like, hey. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, I thought you were a crazy man, you know. And I did not mean to shove you through that window, but I did.
Yeah, I'm apparently part of a resistance fighting these aliens, but I didn't believe you when you told me about aliens.
No, she wasn't in the resistance yet until she put the glasses on.
Oh, okay.
Because he dropped the glasses in her apartment. And so, like, there's a shot where she, like, sees the sunglasses on the floor. So yeah, she put those on, and then she realizes
the cops showed up. They were probably aliens.
Yeah. She's like, "Oh shit, he was telling me the truth." So that's how she gets there. But like you said, I think isn't the idea that she would? Well, we'll get into it in a minute. But all right, so they're having their meeting, and she's talking to Piper, and she's right about to say something to Piper, like, "Oh, let's go make love or something," and there's a big explosion. And here come the cops. And da-da-da-da-da. Cops are storming in. And these cops don't fuck around.
Yeah. They're just mowing down everybody.
Yeah. Like, the only people that survive are really Piper, that Foster lady.
Foster and Keith David.
Everyone else is just getting
the name characters. Yeah.
So, but they get separated. She gets separated from the two of them. And they're running, getting chased by the cops. And yeah, that's just a big shootout, right? And at some point, they get a watch.
David finds a watch somewhere, yeah.
I think they had one. They had one at that meeting. Okay. Because the one guy was telling him, I can't figure out how it works. We know that if they push a button, they can, like, disappear. But we don't. I can't figure out how to trigger it. And so I think they had the watch with them. And during the gunfight, it, like, falls out of their pocket or something and hits the ground, and it triggers or something. And it opens up.
David's just pressing buttons, and it says there's a malfunction, so here's a temporary portal. It's open for 10 seconds.
Yeah, there's a little hole in the ground, like a Looney Tunes cartoon or something. And so Piper says, jump down there. Keith David jumps down, and then Piper jumps down, and then the portal shuts up, and they're, like, in some underground bunker beneath the city. And it's like the alien headquarters or whatever. And, right? Is that where it was? Or yeah.
Yeah. They're having like a big banquet, like, you know, the one that you're not going to go to.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And this is why, because I'm sure it's run by aliens. Although if it was run by aliens, I would definitely go.
Yeah.
I would absolutely go.
Might be Elf.
Finally, I get to meet off. So, but yeah, they're in this underground bunker there, and they're sneaking around, and they see their buddy from the like there's some meeting going on, right? Like all these elite, they're giving an update on the progress of their world domination.
And like, yeah, the George Buck Flower is there, and now he's like super well dressed. His hair is all slicked back.
Yeah, he's wearing a tuxedo. It's like basically the Bilderberg meeting, and they crash it. And yeah, the Buck Flowers guy, he's like, "Hey, fellas, I didn't know you joined the squad. You joined the team. Good to have you. You should have dressed up more, though. You know, because we're classy here." But he's like, "Hey, come on, I'll show you around." So he starts showing him around the place, and he shows them they got their own little TV studio where they broadcast the news, and it's guarded by two armed guards there. And Buck Flowers says, "Hey, do you mind if I show my buddies around?" And they're like, "Yeah, maybe if you got your passes." And Piper and Keith say, "Oh, here are our passes." And they just shoot their sons of bitches. Murder them dead. So that's that. And then old Buck Flowers is terrified. He's like, "Hey, guys, what are you doing, you know?" He's like, "Why are you stupid? There's no way you can defeat the aliens. Join their side. You make lots of money. You get to wear fancy clothes, go to parties. It's awesome. Why don't you just join up with them, you know?"
Mention the orgies.
And, but they want to hear nothing about it. They want to get to the top of the building because that's where the signal's being broadcast from. And they want to destroy the signal. And old Buck Flowers or whatever, he hits his watch and he teleports out of there. So he's gone. So now they're trying to get their way up to the top of the building so they can destroy the signal. And there's more cops chasing them and stuff. And eventually they're trying to find, oh, because this is the TV station too. This is like beneath the TV station where she worked. And yeah. And this was a little weird because Piper's like, "If we can find Meg Foster or whatever, she could help us out." So he's asking people where Meg Foster is. Why? Meg Foster just got nearly murdered, like in a bloodbath. In this resistance meeting, you think the next thing she's going to do is go to work? Is that going to be like that? Didn't make a lot of sense.
If ever you can take a sick day, this seems like it.
Yeah. So I don't know why, but then when you know it, Meg Foster shows up. They run into her and she's at the end of the hall, just standing there. And he's like, "Meg Foster, you can help us. Come on." And he grabs Meg Foster and they're trying to make their way up to the roof there. And, they're just about to get up there. Piper goes first up. And what does Meg Foster do, Jenny?
I think she killed Keith David, right? Did they ever show what happened to him?
Yeah, she. When Piper goes up, you see her pull a gun up and put it next to Keith David's head. And I think you hear a bang. You don't see it, obviously.
Yeah.
But and
you know, I'm showing him.
So Piper's on the roof, and he sees the satellite dish or whatever putting out the signal. He's like, "Hey, this is it. We got to take it out. You with me there, Meg Foster and Keith David? Hey, you with me?" And Meg says, "Well, I am, but you know, everybody Keith isn't." And he turns around and she's got a gun on him.
Yeah.
Now, so she was always a fake. Like, is that how they found the resistance meeting? Because she infiltrated them and like was an undercover agent the whole time, right? Is that what we're dealing
with?
Yeah.
Although I'm guessing, I mean, George Buckflower, he must have also been like a turncoat, and he could have told them about this thing too. Because it seemed like he was a homeless guy till the day before this.
But would he have been with them after they disbanded and regrouped? Or like, did he ever regroup with them? Or was he just always, like, he may not have known that meeting was in that church or whatever, or wherever they were.
Yeah.
But like, she definitely knew about the meeting because he was there, so.
Yeah, that's true.
He must guessing
have something, you know, important to get let into this because he's not one of the elites. He's just a homeless guy. So he must have like
that is true. He had to have something to get his way in. Tuffy, any thoughts on this?
No. Yeah, I assume she was just a turncoat who was trying to bump herself up in prestige, I guess, because she was just, you know, an employee at the cable network. Just maybe get her in the club.
But like she tells Piper, I guess the question is, was she the reason Was she an undercover agent all along, and she's the reason they find that meeting? Or was she so traumatized by that meeting that then she said, there's no way we can win. Why are we resisting? Hmm. Because then she, because when she has Piper up on the roof and they're talking, she says, you can't win, you know, like, just give
you
it
can't
up.
Can't win, Rock.
And Piper, he's, there's a helicopter above them at this point too, right? I think.
Yeah.
And they're about to.
It's basically, put your gun down or we're going to kill you, what they're telling Piper.
Yeah, they're telling him to step away from the dish because they don't want to accidentally shoot that and destroy it. So, but she's like, Piper, he's got a little itty-bitty gun hidden up his sleeve. Now, did we see this earlier? Did he, like, was there a point where we saw that he had this little gun?
I was not paying close enough attention to find that out.
See, that's my problem.
I didn't
reading.
Know she was wearing a wedding ring, so.
Because I was reading about the movie and stuff, and there was a scene where they're at that meeting, or there was a scene where they're getting guns and stuff at that meeting, right? Like, they had a bunch of weapons on the tables and everything.
Yeah, there's a whole table full, yeah.
So
yeah,
long as there's a shot of him picking up this little gun and sneaking it in his sleeve, then everything's fine. But I didn't see it, so I'm assuming it's there. Because if it's not there, this ending's terrible. You can't just pull out a little gun from your...
Yeah.
But that's what he does. He pulls out his little gun, and he shoots her, and then he turns around, and he shoots the signal there, the tube and the signal to break that up. And so the satellite dish starts blowing up. And as soon as he does that, the helicopter starts gunning him down. And he falls down just about to die, but he puts up his middle finger. He says, take that, you fucking aliens. You sons of bitches.
So ugly, I had to kill you.
So now the signal's down, Tuffy. And would you like to describe the final bit of the film?
No,
you don't remember the final.
Jack. You go to the newscasters, and you can see that they're all the aliens now.
Yeah.
Like, going back to see if he picks up the gun to resolve whether this movie is okay by Mike.
Oh, well, I appreciate that, Tommy. Thank you. but, yeah, now that the signal's been disrupted, humans don't need glasses or anything. They can see the aliens. So, yeah. So Jack, we get a couple montages here of humans recognizing that they're now aliens sitting next to them in bars. And
yeah, that's just cool. In their office. I love that one.
And what about the final scene?
The very final scene, yeah.
Describe that.
Yeah, this was weird. There was a topless woman who was in the middle of riding a guy. She kind of looks over at the TV. They're watching the news while they bone, which, you know, you do. and she sees the newscasters are all freaky looking. She's like, oh, that's not good. And then she looks down at the guy she's riding there, and he's also, like, an alien. And he's just like, what's the matter, baby?
That's like, exactly what his voice sounds like.
And then they cut the credits.
And that's all it is. So we do get some boobs there at the end, so that's nice.
Yeah.
But, yeah, what's the matter, baby? Now, how do you feel about that ending exactly?
I kind of love it.
Yeah, I'm torn on it because it is funny, but does the tone match exactly fit? I don't know.
After Roddy Piper's heroic sacrifice, this is what it is.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it, but it is what it is. So there it is. They Live. I loved it. There's clearly things that could be better and fixed. But it's still great.
Yeah, I've seen this movie many times, and I always go back to it. So
again, up to the big fight. It's really good, I think. And then it gets a little weaker as it, because again, it kind of just devolves into just machine gun fights for a while.
Yeah.
Separating. I really like the first 15, 20 minutes where it was like a quiet, subdued movie, like minimalist dialogue and just kind of like, oh, what's going on here? And I like that a lot. So I kind of wish it would have kept that tone throughout, a little less action-y and,
or at least if you're going to have action set pieces, like, make them different. Like, oh, this is this one. So they're just, like, you know, random running and shooting. And
if it was, I don't know how I feel about the alien, like, all the watches and teleporting and the flying saucer in the sky. I would have liked it as gritty and realistic as possible, except that they're aliens, I think, would have been.
Yeah, that's true.
What I would have preferred. But it's still great. I still really enjoy it.
The look of the aliens is really cool. They're all, like, blue and I love it.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Anything we missed, Toffee, that you would like to mention?
No. Just this movie had a lot of great lines. The other one I had written down was, there's going to be hell to pay because I ain't daddy's little boy anymore.
I don't even remember.
Roddy Piper was talking about his dad. When they were in the hotel room, he was talking about his dad was a real abusive asshole.
Oh, yeah.
He's got to fight the aliens. When he was a kid, he would just take it. His dad would hit him and he would just take it, but he ain't daddy's little boy anymore.
About that. Yeah, I feel bad. Keith David got shot in the head.
So. Yeah. He had a wife and kid he was trying to feed.
That was a great moment, too, because I really didn't expect that when it happened. Heard he just shoot him in the head like that, so that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, the scene of him getting pushed out the window was awesome. I just was not expecting that at all. Because when someone turns on TV and says, hey, look at this TV, that's what I'm focusing on. I want to watch TV. And he just gets pushed right out of window.
She saw her opportunity, and she took it.
Yeah. So how do we rate this? On a bad movie scale or a good movie scale?
I mean, it seems like it's just a good movie.
Yeah. I think it's just a normal movie. I'd give it an 8 on a normal movie scale.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Not perfect, but damn good.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be a contender for best movie if it was a bad movie, but it's just like a good movie. Plus, we had Chatterbox this year, and I think that's a lot.
That locked up.
We're getting close to award season. I think that's usually the summer.
Yeah.
Right? So, So They Live, highly recommended. Definitely check it out.
Yeah, I can't believe I finally watch it.
Yeah, it's surprising. It's surprising. So,
I'm surprised I wasn't even aware of this, really.
What?
Oh.
Yeah.
Kind of a hugely popular cultural thing. Because he's that artist. You know that famous artist guy did the
Jump
Bait?
Yes.
Because, I watched a lot of, older movies when I was in college and stuff, and I'm surprised John Carpenter's catalog never made its way into that stuff.
Yeah, this was, he was taking a swing at Reaganomics and materialism and all that of the 80s. He was still
because I watched the A&E biography of Roddy Piper where they talked about this, and it just didn't register, I think.
Yeah, Piper had to leave WWE to make the movie because Vince wouldn't let him make the movie. Because Vince was a control freak, obviously, and he didn't want Piper to do it. So he said, hey, I'll find you another movie you can do, same pay. I just didn't want you to do this movie for some reason. And Piper says, nope.
Frogtown.
Oh, Hell Comes to Frogtown was awesome, too. But Piper's like, nope, I'm going to go do that movie. So see you, Vince. Bang. And he left.
Nice.
How many movies was Piper in? Because he's 2 for 2 in my books. But,
he was in a lot of movies.
Yeah, because I read a quote from Carpenter where he says Piper did more movies than he did. Because I think he said he made 20 movies or something. And
not all of them have Wikipedia links.
Okay.
If that gives you an idea of the quality of some of these.
That's probably a bad sign, yeah. There's got to be
a good 30, 40 movie credits here.
Hey, but if you're a fan of Roddy Piper... And you got the Peacock. And what you want to do is go into the WWE Network. And I guess they probably still have the old Mid-South Wrestling stuff on there. I haven't watched it in a couple of years. But when Piper's in Mid-South Wrestling, he was awesome. He was so good. So check that out. It seems like a lot of his credits on IMDb are WrestleManias. I don't know if we can count those as credits.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was a Body Slam. That's right. We watched Body Slam, remember?
Oh, yeah. God.
Yeah,
well, he lost 2 for 3.
3 for 3.
Nope. 2 for 3.
So we've seen
Body Slam is a stink we'll never recover from.
We've seen 3 Roddy Piper films. About that.
Wow. That's got to be a record of some kind.
Have we seen 2 Hulk Hogan movies or 1?
Oh, shoot.
At least two, because he was in Gremlins 2.
Oh, I wasn't counting that.
Oh, yeah.
I almost think it's that Triple H movie as a Hulk
Hogan in his short shorts.
Yeah.
I don't remember what that was.
No Holds Barred was he was in a short shorts.
Okay.
But we watched that Triple H movie. That almost seems like a Hulk Hogan movie, but it was Triple H.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we've only seen the one Hulk Hogan movie, not counting Gremlins 2.
We did that Stone Cold Steve Austin movie, The Damage.
Yeah. We got to watch that one where he's like on the island. Oh, fuck it. The Edge was terrible. Yeah, we watched.
Oh, yeah. I watched one with him and Jamie Kennedy. That was brutal.
Lord.
And did Money Plane.
Yeah, that's right. Two Edge movies. Good Lord. That's ridiculous.
What are we doing with our lives? We reevaluate.
When people see this podcast, they think they live.
Hanging out in the triangle of sadness.
So, all right, so there it is. They live. Next week, is it you, Jank, or is it... I can't remember the order here.
Yeah, it'd be Jank next. I'm not here next week anyway, so Jank can go ahead and pick...
What the hell? He's up playing grab ass again. Guess the lake again, Tuffy? Is that what's happening?
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Also, my 40th birthday in, 10
Holy
days?
Holy hell, you're old. Good Lord.
Yeah.
40.
Yeah.
Can no longer be the baby. I mean, technically.
I will always be the youngest person on this show because there's no way we're getting fresh blood to come in.
So I talked his nephew into coming on finally.
It's going to take a lot of inflatable monkeys to get him on here.
So, all right. Well, Jank, anything in mind or you got to research? Pick a winner.
I got some ideas, but I'll look around.
All right. So that'll be next week here on the Big Fake Radio Show. Did you watch anything else this week, Jank? Well, you mentioned X-Men 97.
Yeah, just the X-Men 97. They had the big final part of the three-part finale was this week. It was not quite what I was expecting, for sure. as we mentioned last week, the previous episode ended with Magneto ripping the adamantium out of Wolverine.
Oh, yeah.
And it feels like if you're going to do that, that should be a bigger thing for Wolverine. But Wolverine's been such like an afterthought most of this season. And like, he really wasn't in the episode where he got his adamantium ripped out for the most part. Like, he barely said anything. And like this episode, he was just kind of recovering and they really didn't follow up on it much at all. It was like, oh, okay. And, like, you know, in the comics when that happened, like, Professor X was like, all right, fuck it, Magneto, you've gone too far this time. And, like, he just used his powers on him full force and, like, wiped his memory completely, like, to a blank slate. He's like, fuck you, Magneto. So I was expecting them to do that on here. And then that would open the door for Onslaught next season. But they didn't seem to do that. He was kind of just went in Magneto's mind and was kind of trying to, you know, talk to him and make him use his powers to reverse the damage that he'd done to the planet. And they just kind of had like a good heart to heart. And it seemed like Magneto kind of got talked down again by the end of it. So it's like, oh, now Magneto's helping us again. But it's like, you just like wrecked Wolverine. Like, I can't see this working out very well. You all getting along now. So that was kind of strange.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
Yeah. But then, so like, his asteroid is crashing towards the Earth at this point. Because Bastion showed up, they kind of combined the two plots finally, and they were all fighting Bastion up in the asteroid M. And Bastion kind of disappears. It looks like he got blasted away, but he's probably not really dead, I'm assuming. And so the whole thing is crashing. So the X-Men are up there, and they're like, okay, we got to stop this thing from crashing into the Earth. Even though they kind of showed the Avengers fighting Prime Sentinels in this episode too, so it's like, oh, shouldn't like Doctor Strange be helping, or Iron Man? They should be on this. They should be probably coming up with some plan to stop this thing, but that's all right. So they kind of are trying to all use their powers to prevent this thing from hitting the Earth, and there's a giant explosion, and seemingly they all are killed, basically. But it's like, yeah. So it's only just, I guess, Forge is still alive on Earth, because he wasn't part of this. Wolverine and Morph kind of got left behind. And I think that's it. I think everybody else, or Jubilee, I think, and Sunspot, maybe they made it out. But, like, all the rest of them are... Well, yeah, they're not really dead, though. Spoiler alert. Because then they cut to, they've actually been displaced in time. Like, Bishop shows up again, and he's like, oh, hey, Forge, like, you don't know me yet, but we'll meet in the future. But I've come back because the X-Men have gotten lost in time. We got to go find them. So we find out that most of them have gone back to ancient Egypt, except for Cyclops and Phoenix, who have gone into the far future, which, you know, happens to be the same time where Cable was being raised as a little kid. So they kind of run into young Cable. They finally get their chance to kind of raise him, it seems like, which did happen in the comics. Like, they did end up going, there was the miniseries called The Adventures of Cyclops and Phoenix, where they went to the future and, like, spent 10 years in, like, other people's bodies raising Nathan as a young boy. And then they, like, their minds got returned. Yeah. But this is a more direct thing where it's like their actual bodies. So they are in the future, whereas the rest of the X-Men are all in the past in ancient Egypt, and they see, you know, basically a young Apocalypse there. So it seems like next season is going to be a lot of Apocalypse. Nothing but Apocalypse in three different time periods, essentially. Because you got him in ancient Egypt, you got him in the future where Cable is a young kid, because he is basically ruling the planet at that point. And then they kind of showed him in Genosha being like, oh, so many have died, but, you know, I'm going to create an even better race from all this type thing. So I think we're definitely getting Gambit as the new Horseman of Death next season for sure. I would say that's definitely going to happen. He's going to come back to life that way. Yeah, I don't know. Be a lot of Apocalypse next year, it looks like, when they come back.
I hate Apocalypse. I hate all this. This is all terrible. I don't like any second of this. Just hearing the different team members, right, like, jumble together from different eras, it's like, I hate this. This is awful.
Yeah. It's weird for sure. I mean, most of them are different eras. It's mostly the focusing on that X-Men team.
But, like, Morph and Jubilee are on a team with, like, Wolverine. This is terrible. I hate it. All right, anyway, there's that. So it's done now?
Yeah, the first season is done. I think there's at least one more season. I don't know when that's going to be debuting, but...
I know people were very excited Spider-Man showed up, right?
Yeah, like, a bunch of the Avengers were in this one. Like, they showed Doctor Strange and... The Daredevil.
As soon as you say, all right, see, this is all weird to me, too, because you say, I say Spider-Man, you say, yeah, a bunch of the Avengers. So, like, Spider-Man's an Avenger and Daredevil's an Avenger? What are we doing?
I mean, Spider-Man was on the Avengers in the comics. He's not.
I know, but it's terrible. I don't approve of that either.
I mean, that's honestly when the Avengers became good in my book in the comics. Like, I was never an Avengers guy until they added, like, Wolverine and Spider-Man. Like, let's have characters on them.
I'm witnessing the fracture of some of our fantasy right in front of my eyes.
Civil War.
Well, this Joker over here, he likes Wolverine's bone claws, right, Jank? Aren't you a bone claw guy?
Oh,
I mean, I prefer the metal, for sure. But I don't think it's a stupid idea to have him have bone claws.
It's stupid.
Bone claws are dumb.
Yes. You know what makes it stupid? Because he never had them for, like, all the years. Like, when they said that his claws were implanted into his forearms, and that's how they popped. But no, he suddenly has bone claws.
He had memory implants, so he didn't remember that they were there.
Oh, memory implants.
Past, like, 10
covers
years
up for, that just covers up for terrible writing. Oh, he had memory implants. Don't worry about it. We don't need continuity. He had memory implants. So, yeah, fuck it. Fuck bone claws. It's terrible.
Yeah. Right. I think the first time I experienced the bone claws was in one of those movies, and it's like, what is this nonsense? He's not supposed to have bone claws.
Yeah, it's absurd. But comic books are a little worse.
The metal claws be all bony looking if he had bone claws? If it's just a metal coating on his bones?
You'd think so, but no.
Well, the problem is, Wolverine had his own solo book at the time they took the adamantium out of him, so you can't have him have no claws now once the metal's gone. Like, that would just be terrible.
Just have him get some gardening shears that he puts between his fingers.
Yeah. Carry some sharpened spoons. Do whatever you gotta do. But, so anyway. I've been listening to, I told you this, Jank, but I've been listening to more audio books and stuff, comic book versions. I've been listening to some Batman, And I finished up that the Death of the Family today.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fucking weird. I don't know.
It is weird. Yeah. It's not my favorite by any stretch of the imagination. Court of Owls was better. Yeah, it's Death of the Family. It's always cool when they do a Joker story that seems like it has a lot of stakes, but I don't know. It just kind of ended with them having like a weird dinner, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. And like nothing really fucking happened anyway.
Yeah. I mean, you guess you get the reveal that, oh, he actually does know who Batman is, but kind of doesn't
I guess. Yeah, it doesn't even, yeah, they just undermine everything. Like, oh, so all, this whole point, we're supposed to be terrified that he actually knows Bruce Wayne's identity. This is the whole thing that's driving everything. And at the end, it's like, oh, by the way, yeah, he knows and he doesn't care. What? Then what are we doing?
Yeah. They started, like, Scott Snyder started setting up some weird things, too, where it's like, the Joker might actually be, like, many centuries old.
Yeah, what? For fuck's sake. I just want to shake comic book writers. Just shake them. Just shake them. Don't be stupid. Just tell a story. Good guy, bad guy. Good guy wins. That's all you need. All right. So what else? Anything else? I have not watched anything. Oh, wrestling. Watch wrestling, Tuffy?
Yeah.
Yeah, Asuka's injured. I think we mentioned that last week. She's taking time off there. And there were rumors going around today that Bianca Belair is pregnant. But it seems like it's just a rumor.
Won her Queen of the Ring match against Tiffy tonight.
Oh, they actually wrestled? So then I guess she's not pregnant.
Yeah.
So, like, Montez Ford changed his Twitter bio or something to say father of three, and apparently he only has two kids. I don't know. So people are like, oh, my God, Bianca Belair's...
Maybe he just found out he has another kid.
I guess. Like the Ed. He wants to have another kid somewhere. I don't know.
Maybe somebody left the baby in a bucket.
But, yeah, if she wrestled tonight, then, yeah, she's not... Because that would have been crazy if... Because there's a long tradition of whenever people get in a feud with Asuka, they end up pregnant then shortly after. So, yeah. Like, who was it? Becky, Alexa Bliss, Carmella, Lacey Evans.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this would have just added to it. And also the tag titles would have had to have been moved again. Those things are cursed. So,
It seems like they're Queen of the Ring. I didn't see the second match, but I'm assuming Jade Cargill is going to beat Nia to then fight Bianca.
Oh, should Bianca beat Tiffy?
Yeah.
Wow. I thought it was going to be like Tiffy and Lyra Valkyrie for the... Because I figured they would have like Tiffy cheat or something or somehow.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, and that...
Then she gets a Tiffy timeout.
Yeah, cool. You know Tiffy Time? You've seen Tiffy Time, right?
I don't think I have, actually. No, I've just heard you guys talk about it.
She was in the Royal Rumble.
Check her out. She's great.
She was the blonde wearing the pink outfit in the Royal Rumble. You probably don't remember. But the thing about this queen, especially the queen side of this tournament, there, Tuffy, is usually these tournaments are booked in such a way that you know, oh, yeah, when they're going to win, they're going to win. There are some really great matchups on both sides. All right. I don't know who's going to win this. Like, did they actually think Asuka was going to wrestle Lyra Valkyria? Like, they knew Asuka was injured. They built it, and then they took her out of it. Because they were going to have her go over Asuka in the first round? That would have been crazy, no?
I guess. I don't know.
How do you feel about the Lyra Valkyria? I'm a big fan. I like Lyra.
Yeah, she's fine.
Yeah. I would like more enthusiasm out of you next time you talk about her, but... Okay.
You know, I'm still recovering from Tiffany Stratton losing tonight, you know?
Oh, okay.
Hard luck.
All right. Fair enough. You know, she's with Ludwig Kaiser. That's her fella.
Yeah.
Ludwig Kaiser.
So. Yeah, it is always disappointing when you find out those.
Ties stole my word 20.
Wait, what was that, Jay?
We had to say dickety because the Kaiser stole our word 20.
Kaiser.
Yeah.
Is there anything else of note going on in the wrestling?
I think so. Logan Paul fighting Cody Rhodes.
That's weird too. I don't understand what they're doing there because it's for both belts, right? Like the U.S. title and the.
Yes. Maybe Logan Paul's took a showing up like six times a year instead of two times a year.
I just don't understand what they're doing. So if Cody wins, he's going to have, I don't know. It's weird. Oh, here's what's going to happen, Tuffy. They're going to have their match. Oh, you know what it is. I think they're going to bring back that Bray Wyatt, the Bray Wyatt six. And I think they're going to interfere in the match at Saudi Arabia. So no one wins the match. So no belts change hands. And then the Wyatt six will start feuding with Cody. That's what's going to happen. Have you heard about this Wyatt six and everything?
No.
Yeah, it's going to be a tribute to old Bray Wyatt. And
like Braun Strowman's back.
I don't know if Strowman's going to be in it. Like Dexter Lumis is supposed to be in it. Nikki Cross.
Ooh.
They're bringing back, what's his face?
One Bludgeon Brother.
Yeah, I can't remember his name. Whatever, Eric something, or I don't know. Jimmy. I can't remember that guy's name. The guy with the big red beard.
Eric Rowan.
Eric Rowan. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, he's back. There were rumors that Alexa Bliss was going to be in a jank, but I don't think she is. I think they said, because I don't think she's ready to come back yet. So, Joe Gacy from NXT is supposed to be in it. But they're all going to basically play the characters from the Firefly Funhouse, basically. And they're all just going to wrestle. So, yeah, that'll be something. And Bo Dallas is playing the Uncle Howdy part or whatever. So, yes, how it's going to happen. So, I'll save them there. But, all right, what else? Any other thing? Oh, we could Stanley Cup playoff update. Jank, would you like to break that down for us?
got nothing.
This Edmonton-Vancouver series is dynamite. It's very good. Vancouver's up 3-2 going back to Edmonton. And this is it. McDavid, you got to step up, buddy. This is it. Every year you can't, like, light up the Kings in the first round, get all these crazy points, and then bow out in round two. So let's go. Here's your chance to be a somebody. Let's go. Who else? I don't know what any scores going on right
Panthers,
now.
Panthers closed it out tonight.
Nice. Fuck you, Boston.
And the Stars and the Avalanche are playing as we speak. 0-0.
Yeah, that's an interesting one because the Avalanche lost Valerie Nichushkin. Valerie Nichushkin. Nishkushkin? I don't know. They like, because he's stage three of the player assistance program. Remember last year in the playoffs, he got in trouble for, they found a hooker in his room who was too drunk to leave the hotel. And, so he got suspended for that. And then he got in trouble again, and he had 9 goals already in the playoffs. He's the leading goal scorer, and now he's going to be gone for at least 6 months, and he has to, like, apply for reinstatement next year and everything, so it doesn't seem likely that
he's living an episode of Shoresy or something.
Yeah. I don't know if he'll be back with the Avalanche, because he's a hell of a player. He's fucking awesome. But, it seems pretty sad. So I'm saying all that to say that Dallas is probably going to win that because once he left, it's a big hole for Colorado. Who else do we have left? Oh, Rangers closed out the Carolina Hurricanes. I think this might be the Rangers' year, Tuffy.
Sure.
I'm getting that feeling, and I don't like it. I don't like this filthy Rangers, but it just seems like it might be their year.
You don't like a lot of teams.
Yeah, who do you like?
Colorado. I like Colorado.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nate McKinnon is amazing. Cale Makar is amazing. But we're going to have a great Final Four because the Rangers and Panthers are two legit teams. Colorado and Dallas are really strong, and Edmonton and Vancouver are strong teams. So this is going to be a really good – usually you get one team in there that doesn't belong, you know. But it's going to be a pretty good Final Four, however it goes. Other big sports news, Paul Skeens lit up their fucking Chicago Cubs today, Tuffy. How'd you like that?
I don't know, not great.
Did you watch the game at all?
No.
Yeah, I didn't watch it either.
I haven't watched a baseball game in I don't know how long.
Yeah, same here. But I have them on my fantasy team, so I keep track of them. He struck out the first 7 guys. First 7 guys, he struck them out.
Yeah, so unfortunately, those Mayday Malones seem like they really bounced back, too, since I made fun of them.
Yeah, I had a tough opening 2 weeks, but dude, my pitching is fucking loaded now that Paul Skeen is gone. So
look at my my injury reserve.
Your pitching is like that loaded. Hooker. Too loaded.
Too loaded to leave the hotel. But, yeah, I'm feeling good about the Mayday Malones now that Paul Skeens is up. And Caitlin Clark, WNBA, grabbed all the headlines, and she's not doing anything, huh? They kind of stink.
Yeah, right. That's probably why they had the number one pick.
Yeah. So, what other big sports news is there, Tuffy? Football? The schedule release in football.
Yeah, we got Nuggets and Timberwolves going to Game 7.
Oh.
Looks like Knicks and Pacers going to Game 7.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And the stupid Celtics are into the conference finals.
Yeah. Weren't they the favorites to win it, Celtics?
Yeah, they're definitely the big favorites in the East. And then, the championship could be a good matchup, depending who gets there, but...
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I got nothing. Jank, anything else?
I did watch...
Tuffy, you watched something.
4 or 5 episodes of that WWE Rivals.
I've still never watched any of those.
Yeah.
Did they have, like, Batista and Cena this week? Or...
Yeah. I watched Hogan versus Macho.
Oh, that'd be good.
Which, yeah. That's pretty good. They're both just crazy people, I think. Is what I
Macho was a unique fella. Yeah.
Yeah, and Hogan was ever selfish, always looking out for Hulkster.
Yep.
Austin versus Booker.
Oh.
Big grocery store fight.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think of that as a classic rivalry, but they did have the big grocery store match.
Yeah. That was more about like...
Oh, Jake, you're not aware of the grocery store match they had? Well, it wasn't even a match. It was just Austin
they had
falling.
A brawl in a grocery store.
Yeah, so they like closed the grocery store. They just went in and tore up a grocery store. It's pretty awesome. So,
like that episode of Mad Men where they like paid those ladies to fight over the last ham.
Booker and Austin. All right. There's a Triple H one, right? Isn't there a Triple H one?
Cena versus Batista.
Okay.
Which is not that interesting. It's more like, oh, they both wanted the top guy, and Batista was real introverted, so he just never really grabbed it.
I wasn't watching during that time, Cena. So.
Neither was I. Rollins versus Triple H.
That's wrong.
Yeah, see, I don't really think of that as a great rivalry, but I guess it was.
Yeah. It was more that they had, like, overlapping storylines, and then they fought a few times.
Yeah, that's kind of, like, because he was
the guy at NXT who brought Rollins up, and then, Rollins
got him to turn on the Shield, Yeah, to be Triple H's guy, and then, yeah, so I guess if you look at it that way, but.
Yeah.
I don't really think of, and then, when I think of Triple H's great rivals, I don't think Seth Rollins,
That was also probably when you weren't watching.
No, I was watching.
They were fighting each other.
No, I was watching. Yep. I was for all.
Yeah. Yeah, because Rollins was, they were supposed to fight at a WrestleMania, and then Rollins got hurt, so they had to scrap something. Or he was, no, yeah, I think that's right. I don't know, these all kind of bled together.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. You have the knee
and then, because he tore his whole knee up before one WrestleMania. And then the next year, they were building up to a match, and he tore his MCL and didn't require surgery, so he was able to get back for WrestleMania for that one. Something like that.
Yeah. I remember the one he really fucked up his knee. He did like a little flip off the top rope.
Do the flip off the rope into a powerbomb and just threaded his knee.
Yep. So,
and then Dusty Rhodes versus Ric Flair. That was
that's the classic of all classics right there.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Greatest
and, wrestler. Yeah, and just Ric Flair is also just an absolutely insane person.
Yeah, he's crazy. He just got in trouble for being drunk at a pizza place. Did you see this? Like last
year? Yeah. Yep. Still styling and profiling at like 130 years old.
Woo.
Yeah. At least biologically, so he's got to be around that age at this point.
Jack, you remember when I say Ric Flair's classic move, the helicopter, do you know what I mean?
Is that where you just, like, swing your dick around in a circle?
That's exactly right. Apparently, he used to get on airplanes and do that. Yeah, stewardesses.
Yeah.
Impressive chick, helicopter dick.
Yeah.
Sounds like Cody Rhodes should be fighting Charlotte Flair. The next generation.
Keep the rivalry going.
That was the interesting part of like, huh, these are two of the greatest wrestlers, and then their kids are both two of the greatest wrestlers.
Yep. Crazy. Yeah, I don't know when she's coming back.
Yeah.
I saw she's going to be in some movie. She just signed to be in a movie coming up, so.
Oh. We'll probably end up watching it on this show.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. So, all right. Anything else?
I watched most of a TV show.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Feud Capote versus the Swans.
Oh, okay.
What? No idea what this was.
I thought about watching this.
One of them Ryan Murphy shows. You know, he does the American Horror Stories and the Feud and American Crime Story and all those things.
Oh, yeah. The Feud. Oh, okay. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
They had one that was Betty Davis versus some other.
Joan Crawford.
Joan Crawford, yeah.
Watch that one.
And then Truman Capote is the second one, right? Or
Yes.
Okay.
Truman Capote versus the Swans, his New York socialites that he pissed off because he published a story in like 1970 something that was just a very lightly disguised story about them and how their husbands cheat on all of them.
But like, aren't there a lot of famous ladies playing the Swans? Like,
yeah. Naomi Watts looks great. Hey. Diane Lane.
Hey, big fan of Diane Lane.
And close to Flockhart are the sort of the main ones. And then Demi Moore's in it. There's Anne Woodward, who I guess shot her husband and then killed herself. And she also, told a story about her killing her husband, saying it was on purpose. Oh. Molly Ringwald is Joanne Carson, Johnny Carson's ex-wife.
Yeah. One of his ex-wives.
One of his ex-wives. But, it's like, very well made. It's kind of interesting, but it's just a bunch of rich people having rich people problems. So it's not really that interesting.
The aliens in Hollywood would love it.
Yeah. Cause it's all these rich women whose husbands are banging other people. They're banging other people. They're banging each other's husbands. It's like, they're supposed to be the people I'm sympathetic about.
Triangle of Sadness isn't banging anybody. We can't empathize.
Yeah.
I've watched more Love Boat, of course. I don't think there's any. None of them really sticking out to me. Great Love Boat episodes, but.
Survivors got one more episode left for its finale.
And
the people on this show are so bad at Survivor.
But and
like,
what do I want to know?
No smoke monster. No smoke monster.
All right.
Like four straight episodes now, people have been voted out with a hidden immunity idol on their person.
Did they know it was on their person?
Yeah, they just didn't think they were getting voted out for some reason.
Several
of them should have known they were going to get voted out and didn't play their immunity idol.
Yeah, that's just stupid.
Yeah.
And, hey, I guess it's almost the Big Brother season, huh?
Not until July, I don't think.
July?
Yeah. But, like, what's the last Big Brother season you actually watched, Mike Dell?
Yeah, I like to watch the, I don't even watch the first episode. I just look at the cast photos. So I like to do this.
Yeah.
Check.
I feel like you haven't watched like the last four or five seasons, probably.
Yeah, I try to watch. Usually, we talk about the first episode. I try to watch that.
Yeah,
it's always the worst episode. I hate that episode.
Yeah, because you don't know who,
like a douche.
You definitely didn't watch last season. You didn't watch the season that Taylor won. You didn't watch the season that Xavier won with the cookout. You probably didn't watch the season before that because I think Nicole was back on it at that season for All Stars.
Corey.
Big Brother 26 premieres with 2 1-hour episodes, July 17th and July 18th.
Ooh, that's late.
Oh. They have a bunch of pictures on the subreddit. I don't recognize any of these people. Are they the cast? Have they already announced the cast? Or...
I would think so.
Are these like from Big Brother Germany or something? I don't know.
Yeah, I know Big Brother Canada is going on or has just recently wrapped up.
Okay, well, you know, maybe it's Big Brother Canada. All right. So that's something.
Yeah, I think that's all I got.
All right.
Let's go to Chicago for a wedding tomorrow. Not looking forward to that.
What the fuck?
Ooh.
Is this a family member? Or?
No. Like high school, college friend.
That's why I don't have high school or college friends.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe you'll be a bridesmaid, Tuffy. Huh?
Seems unlikely.
All right.
Then I'd have to, you know, talk to somebody. I just plan on sitting in a corner playing champions all night.
Talk to them about all the great movies you watch each week on this show.
Yeah. It's
an icebreaker. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, have you ever seen Class of Nukem High?
Not to be confused with Project Class of 84. Yeah. So, all right.
Terror, the worst movie ever made.
Oh, God.
Freaking Terror. Hey, yeah, that was Miles. We got to get Miles on before he comes to Greensburg. We got to talk about his trip here. But,
yeah.
All right. Well, next week, Jank will pick us a winner. And, hey, maybe Miles will be here next week because Tuffy's not going to be here.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get somebody fill in. So I know Larry's not coming back just 2 weeks later.
No.
That son of a bitch. Hey, Larry got the final boss rock on Champion stuff. Did you see that?
I saw that, yeah.
Fucking Larry, man. Everything's coming up Larry, you know?
Fortunately, I spent $600 on my car this week, so I'm not...
I thought you were going to say trying to get on Champions. I was like, holy shit, he spent $600.
No.
So, all right.
Yeah, I did also have the observation that I would have done very poorly at Jenks' music game last week.
Yeah.
I didn't do that bad, right? I think, yeah.
No.
I was pretty close.
I was surprised.
Yeah, came down to sudden death there.
Yeah.
And then Jank rigged it.
Yeah, because I was listening to it. It's like, I don't know any of this shit.
Yeah.
So I waited for Larry. I was like,
So, all right. Well, Jank will pick up maybe next week, maybe Miles, maybe someone else. Maybe we'll just call a random person up the street. Just interview them.
Yeah.
Make a new friend. Just how that goes.
All like right. Blog talk, Dave. Just some person spouting racial epithets.
I forgot that was a thing. Yeah, but that really was a thing. Yeah, it really was.
Yeah.
All right. So, thanks to Tuffy. Thanks to Jank. Thanks to Roddy Piper. And until next week. By the way, I found a video of Governor Gabby. You can still watch it online. Yes. And I tracked it down. I sent it to Larry last week. So Larry is very excited. I forget what the site's called. I think it begins with like a G or something. I don't know. That'll help you if you want to look for it.
Yeah.
You can find it. The point is, if you do a search, you can find it. You look hard. So
your computer's probably going to get infested with a lot of viruses.
So until next week, pass the Machichi, Governor Gavin.
Thank you very much.